2 Corinthians chapter 11 and the verse number 21. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes, "I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. Howbeit, whereinsoever any is bold, I speak foolishly, I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without and which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and am I not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? For I must needs glory. I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artus, the king, kept the city all in the Damascians, with a garrison desiring to apprehend me. Through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall, and escaped his hands." We'll end our reading at the end of chapter 11. And may God bless the public reading of his word. Let's briefly again unite in prayer. Loving Father, we come now to the preaching of thy word. Settle our hearts. Hush down all those things that have troubled us in a week that is past, and all those fears and concerns that are upon us with regard to a week that lies before us. May we just know thy blessing and thy presence in this place. Glorify thy Son. Fill this preacher with wisdom, with the Spirit of God, and with boldness, that I might preach as that which thou hast given for this hour. For I offer prayer and through the Saviour's precious name. Amen and amen. Now, for today's message, we are stepping away from our Beholds of Scripture, that series that we have been doing over the last number of the weeks, because the Lord has burdened my heart about another matter that I wish to address today. It is not that we are constrained to continue within a series, but as the Lord would lead, then that's how I will preach in this pulpit. Now, I must confess that I did struggle to find a passage of Scripture to read today that really deals with the matter upon which I want to preach upon. I want to give you the subject matter, and then by doing so, I trust then that you'll be able to see why I struggle to find an appropriate portion of God's word to read. Today I want to speak about casual Christianity, the curse of the church. Casual Christianity, the curse of the church. Now, the reason why I've struggled to find a scripture to read that relates to casual Christianity is that this problem hardly existed in the first century whenever the New Testament church was established. To be a Christian in New Testament times cost people dearly. To become a follower, believer in Jesus Christ would have involved serious forethought by the individual, because the consequences that followed such a decision meant for some a martyr's death. To be casual about spiritual things, to be casual about Christianity, about the things of God, was something that rarely happened in Bible times. In actual fact, it was the complete opposite. Many things that Paul had to endure because of his faith, and we have read them today here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, led this man to become a committed, dedicated, devoted disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. So committed was this man to the work of Jesus Christ that he was ready to preach the gospel in Rome also, knowing that going to such a city would probably lead to his own death by martyrdom. However, in the 21st century, I fear that there has developed a casual mindset in many of us as God's people when it comes to the basics of Christian living. Now, the world aims to be casual with regard to many things. The world speaks about casual relationships, casual intimacy, casual living arrangements. To be casual today is deemed to be a good thing by the world, something that is on trend. To be casual is to be on trend, to be cool, to be, as it were, an individual that simply fits in with the world. To be non-casual, to be stiff, to be rigid, to be formal, to be intense is frowned upon by those who simply live for the here and the now. Now, the word casual has a range of meanings. The Oxford Dictionary, the word casual is defined as relaxed or unconcerned, made or done without much thought or premeditation, done or acting without sufficient thought or thoroughness. It is this casualness, this relaxed, unconcerned, apathetic, informal mindset that has become the church, the curse of the Church of Jesus Christ. Professing Christians have lapsed into a casual relationship with God, something that brings great pleasure and delight to the devil. And so today I want to speak on this subject, casual Christianity, the curse of the church, and pray that God will use it in all of our lives and that we would repent of our casualness and commit ourselves again to a life that brings glory to God. Now, there are only two questions that I want to ask and then attempt to answer in this message. The first question, and we are going to spend the most of our time in this particular question and answer. The first question we want to answer and or ask and then answer is, what have we become casual about? What have we become casual about? Can I suggest in the first place that we have become casual with regard to the Scriptures? To the Scriptures. Now, the list will not be exhaustive today. My time is limited, but there are a number of areas, and this is the first area that we want to consider today. We have become casual with regard to the matter of the Scriptures. Let me explain and enlarge a little of what I mean. What about the casualness that has come about with regard to the version of Scriptures? To the version of Scriptures. Walk into any Christian bookstore today, and you will find the shelves cram-packed and bowed down with a multitude of Bible versions that are, as it were, the length of your arm. Now, we believe that the Bible is the verbally inspired word of the living God. The question is, which Bible version is the most reliable Bible version when it comes to the translation from the original Hebrew and Greek manuscripts? Well, we as a church believe that it is the authorized version of the Scriptures, otherwise known as the King James Version. The Bible that you and I have in our hands today is based on the best Greek manuscript known as the Textus Receptus. Other modern English translations are based on manuscripts that are much older in age, and they appear much better in shape, but that is because they were not used and distributed because they contained multiple errors. And thus the manuscript used to translate the authorized version of the Scriptures is of superior quality than the manuscripts used for any other English translation. As a church, we only use the authorized version of the scriptures. It is that book, that translation from which we preach from in the pulpit. Every Sunday school teacher teaches from the authorized version of the scriptures. The children's meeting, the open air, the tracts that we hand out, the youth fellowship, all the ministries that we support are those that have the authorized version of the scriptures as the scriptures that they particularly use. Now, I say that not because there has been some event happened in this congregation with regard to these things, because that hasn't been the case. Just in case you're thinking there's been some type of slippage and he's addressing it in his pulpit today, that's not the case, brethren and sisters. But I am saying it in case there be some slippage in the future with regard to the Bible version that is used in this particular church. I am simply bolting the door before the horse decides to escape. I believe that the only Bible that should be in your hand and the only Bible that should be in your home is the authorized version of the scriptures. And those words and phrases that baffle you, a good sound Bible concordance and a good English dictionary would greatly help and aid you in your understanding of those particular words and phrases. And so we must never become casual with regard to the version of scriptures. And I say that because over recent times I have noticed in certain evangelical circles and churches, in not so far a distance from this particular church, that there has been a moving away from the authorized scriptures. Well, it'll not be happening in these days when I am the minister of this congregation. It is the authorized version of the scriptures that we will use, and we must not think, brethren and sisters, that it's not important, because it is. It is. Because many of these translations contain errors. And if you want to be schooled in these things, simply log on or write to the Trinitarian Bible Society, and they'll give you ample material that will show that many translations that are preached from today contain errors. Important things have been left out with regard to the deity of Christ, the blood of Christ, and many other key fundamental doctrines. And so as a church, we stand by the authorized version. Don't become casual about it, brethren and sisters. What about the casualness with regard to the knowledge of Scripture? We only become acquainted with God's Word when we take time to read the Scriptures and to understand them and to glean knowledge from the Scriptures, as they did there in the city of Berea. It was said of the believers there in Acts 17, verse 11, that they received the Word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. What I like about that congregation was they kept their preachers right with regard to what they were preaching. They simply didn't just milk it all in and receive from the preachers as gospel truth, but rather, having heard the word, they spent the rest of the week searching the scriptures to see whether those things were so, whether those things that had been preached upon were actually emphasized and presented within the scriptures of holy truth. They didn't bring their Bible simply to the house of God or the place of public meeting and then leave it on the shelf for the other 6 days. No, rather 7 days a week, these people were in the scriptures. They searched the scriptures daily. And their knowledge of scripture came from two ways then. From the preaching of the word, that was one way. But then there was this personal searching. There was this personal meditating upon the Word of God as an individual on the Scriptures of truth. And it was by these two means the public means and the private means, that their knowledge of the Scriptures were enlarged and they began to grow in grace, because the Scriptures are our food. The Word of God is that which we partake of that causes us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the question is, have you become casual with regard to your knowledge of the Scriptures? I asked you today, is there any reading plan with regard to your own personal time, young and old? Is there any reading plan that you follow throughout the week with regard to the reading of the Scriptures? Is there a time in the day when you set things aside, whatever time it be, and you set things aside and you take the Word of God up in your hand and you read the Scriptures and you pray over the Scriptures and you memorize the Scriptures? Is that part and parcel of your daily living? Or has it become, as it were, something that is casual with regard to your knowledge of the Scriptures? Well, I suppose Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night is sufficient enough for me to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And really, this daily reading of the Scriptures and the memorizing of the Scriptures, that's more for those who are more enthusiastic for the things of God. And it has become the case that you've simply become casual, or maybe it just is that before you fall off to sleep, you take the Word of God and you read a few verses of Scripture, and really that's really the sum and substance of your knowledge of God's Word. Or maybe you've become even more casual. It may be that days have passed, they've maybe ran into weeks, maybe they've ran into months, and you haven't taken the Word of God down and read it. Oh, that this message would then cause you to return to the Word of God with a new desire for the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Your knowledge of the Scriptures, don't be casual about it. But I believe this third point with regard to our casualness with respect to the Word of God is the most important, because there has arisen in the lives of many a casualness when it comes to their obedience to the Scriptures. Their obedience to the Scriptures. Preachers and ministers can only bring the Word of God to a congregation's attention. The responsibility then falls upon each hearer to obey the Word of God. The problem often isn't with the preaching. The problem is with regard to our obedience. That's where the problem lies. Not the preaching. We don't claim to be a great preacher. But it's mostly with regard to our obedience to actually what we hear, that we apply it then to our lives. We know what God wants us to do. We hear it preached. But too many times we find ourselves recoiling from the Word of God and we refuse to yield to its instruction. Or we give but a partial obedience to the Word as it's preached. One preacher said this: partial obedience is really only disobedience made to look acceptable. Partial obedience is really only disobedience made to look respectable. We must not only hear the Word of God, but we must heed the Word of God. We must apply the Word of God to our hearts. We must live it out in our lives. When we're confronted with sin, we repent of it. We seek cleansing in the blood of Christ. And then with new desire and with the help of the Spirit and His grace, with new obedience, we now walk as God would have us to walk and live as God would have us to live. Brethren and sisters, don't become casual when it comes to your obedience to God's Word. I say it for this reason: unto whom much is given, much shall be required. And as a people, we have instruction biblical instruction brought to our hearts week after week from the pulpit ministry. And because of that, we will stand before God and He will require of us, what have we done? What have we done with the messages preached? Have we turned from our sin when it was exposed to us? Have we, by the grace of God, said, whatever He saith unto me, I'm going to obey Him, because obedience is better than any sacrifice. Mary said to those servants there in Cana, whatsoever He saith unto you, do it. That's how we should come to the Word as it's read and preached. That should be our attitude. I must obey Him. I must obey Him. It's going to be for my good. It's going to be for His glory. I must obey my Lord. I must obey my Savior. Don't be casual with regard to the Scriptures. In the second place, for some listening today, it may be that a casualness has entered with regard to the sanctuary. For some listening today, it may be that a casualness has entered your life with regard to, first of all, attendance at the house of God. Your attendance at the house of God, sporadic at best, non-existent at worst. Your attendance at the house of God is certainly nothing to crow about, or to brag about, or to boast about. The Scriptures are very clear. Hebrews 10, verse 25, the Lord's people are not to forsake the assembling of themselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as ye see the day approaching, as Christ's return comes ever nearer, so much the more ought we be to be assembling in the house of God. And yet there are those who sit at home in reasonable health, using all kinds of excuses for their non-attendance at the public means of grace. They've become casual about coming to the house of God. Apart from serious illness and works of necessity and mercy, and can I say with regard to them, that it should not be that every Lord's Day you're found outside and away from the house of God. Your employer should know that you are a believer and that you find it difficult to be working, even if you are carrying out those works of mercy and of necessity. Make them aware of it. Ask them, can your rota be changed so that you're found in the house of God? If that cannot happen, well, then the next occasion be at the place of public worship, but only for works of necessity and mercy. And severe illness, I think of those people we read in Scripture that we meet there, that lady that was bowed down with the infirmity for many, many years. And where was she found? She was found at the house of God. The house of God. There are times that we're sick, we understand that. There are times that we'll maybe have to isolate because of, with regard to this coronavirus, we understand that. We have to be sensible. But I believe that, if all possible, we should be at the house of God. We ought to be at the public place of worship for three reasons. First of all, it's for your spiritual growth. For your spiritual growth. Second reason, as a testimony to the unsaved who live with you and who live around you. Do you realize that this is the Lord's Day and it is to the Lord's house that we're going? And also, the third reason, as an example to our children if we are parents. An example to our children if we are parents. Mother, father, if you don't come to God's house, how will you ever expect your children to go to the house of God? But there's a casualness. There's a casualness with regard to coming to God's house. Matthew Henry said this, Sabbaths are to be sanctified in religious assemblies, if we have opportunity, it is a holy day and must be honoured with a holy convocation or assembly. I always become very concerned when I notice individuals not attending the house of God. It is often a telltale sign of a spiritual problem that needs addressing before spiritual shipwreck is made. We heard at Presbytery on Friday night that it takes 5 weeks for a habit to develop. And our new moderator said, I fear that there are many within our denomination and they have got out of the habit of coming to the house of God. Let us not fall into that trap, brethren and sisters. So there is a casualness with regard to attendance at the house of God. Maybe a casualness has entered your life with regard to your approach to the house of God. Your coming to the house of God, your approach to the house of God. The psalmist David said in Psalm 122, it says that he came joyfully to God's house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Solomon encouraged the attender of God's house to approach it carefully. In Ecclesiastes 5 verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. In Isaiah chapter 56 in the verse 7, God speaks of his house as being a house of prayer, and therefore we ought to approach the meeting house prayerfully. Prayerfully. Now honestly, did you approach God's house casually today? Is this the way that you approach the house of God as is set out in the Word of God? Do you come joyfully? Or do you grumble and complain on the way to church? Do you murmur when you sit in church? It's too cold. It's too warm. And then do you complain on the way home from church? Or do you just come glad? Glad that you're in the house of God. Glad that you're able to meet together. Glad that there's a roof over our heads and we're not sitting with rain coming down on our bodies. Are you just glad to be here today? Did you come to God's house carefully? Making sure nothing between you and your God, and making sure nothing between you and a brother or a sister in Christ. Did you come prayerfully? Did you pray for your minister? Did you pray for your minister today? Did you? Did you pray for him this week? Did you pray for him? I need your prayers. Did you pray that whoever the preacher would be, that he would know God's power in the delivery of the message? Did you pray that God would make your heart receptive to the Word of God? Aye, did you pray that others would be saved, that others would be sanctified? Did you come prayerfully, saying, Lord, speak to me, as Samuel said, Lord, speak for thy servant heareth? This is how we should approach God's house, joyfully, carefully, prayerfully. But I fear there's a casualness. Maybe a casualness has entered your life with regard to your attitude in the house of God. You know, many just look as the word as is preached. Well, that's another message from Reverend Stewart this week. Glad I don't need to go back to next Sunday. Is that your attitude? This is God's message for your heart today. What is your attitude to it? Are you going to go home and say, well, that was a great rant today? Are you going to say, Lord, it's true. I have become casual. I have become casual in these areas. When we enter the place of meeting, our attitude regarding all things that will occur therein should be governed by the fact that we are gathering in the Lord's presence. Sadly, some yawn their way through the service because they have misspent their Saturday nights. Others glance at their watches every 5 minutes because they're bored. Others, they fail to turn up the Bible references when encouraged to do so by the preacher because they think that they have a superior Bible knowledge than everybody else. I don't need to turn up the scriptures because I know the verse. Pride in the heart, and it's an offense to God. We come to worship God publicly. Humility, contrition, and lowliness of mind ought to mark our attitude. Not arrogance, not pride, and not a feeling of self-importance. But we become casual. I'm entering into the meeting place. Place of assembly, the Lord's house, God's house, where the Word of God, this living, incorruptible, eternal, everlasting Word from the living God is going to be opened and preached upon. Oh, let's not sit with an attitude believing, well, I don't need to hear anything today because I've reached a level of spirituality that I can go no higher. God forbid. God forbid. Quickly, we move on to a third matter. It may be that for some, we have become casual about the matter of sin. Sin in the nation, sin in the church, but sin in the individual. That's where it gets uncomfortable, isn't it? Isn't that where it gets uncomfortable? This sin in our own lives. Ah, we know it well. Sin is detrimental to my growth in the things of God. It's detrimental to my relationship and fellowship and communion with God. And yet there seems to be an increased casualness when it comes to sin in the Christian's life. Whereas in the past, the believer would have blushed with regard to their sin. It now seems to be that there's a brazenness with regard to sin. Christians now justify their sin. We're beyond the age of repenting from sin. The sin of envy and jealousy and gossip and slander and lying and worldliness so rampant in Christendom today have become respectable sins among us. And we're very casual about it. Brethren and sisters, there should be no casualness when it comes to sin in our lives. For it was sin that nailed the Redeemer to the tree. My sin. Your sin. Yes, and it is our sin that causes the enemies of Christ to blaspheme His holy name. Oh, let us not be casual about it. Oh, but rather pray, God, make me sensitive to my sin. That which grieves Thee, Lord, reveal it to me. Show me the cause of it so that I might have done with it, that I might root out the cause. And if there be unconfessed sin in the life today, oh, brother, don't be casual about it. Sister, don't be relaxed about it. Repent of it. Seek cleansing in the blood, because the blood still cleanses us from all sin. Aye, and seek the renewal of the fellowship that you once had with your God. Don't be casual about sin. See it as that which is exceeding sinful. See it as such. See it as that which crowned the Redeemer with a crown of thorns. See it as that which nailed His hands to the tree. See it as that which caused Him to become the sin offering and to bear upon His own soul the very punishment of that sin. See your sin in light of the cross, and then we'll sin less. For many of us, We become casual in our lives with regard to soul winning. Soul winning. In the next 24 hours, 150,000 people in this world will die. Added to that, 385,000 people will be born into this world. Presently, there are 7.8 billion people that populate this little planet. How many of those who will die today? How many of those who will be born today? How many of those who are presently living? How many will hear the gospel? We get so tribal. We get so parochial. So caught up with secondary matters that we have forgot the mission of the church. To spread gospel light. To preach the gospel. To make disciples of all nations. And you and I, we meet people every day. And yet we do not see them as souls who will either be in heaven or in hell. Because if we did, we would speak to them about Christ. We would pray for them. We would endeavor to get something of the gospel in our hands. But the thing is, we just go on our merry way with really no burden for those who are perishing within our families, within our circle of friends, our form year, or with those who live in our neighborhood. We become casual about it. Oh, for a heart like Paul, who said there in Romans chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. Is it any wonder that he would then go on to pen those words that we know so well in Romans 10, verse number 1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Do you want a reality check? Do you want a reality check? Tomorrow, in the will of God, if God spares you, type into your search engine world population clock. You do it. And you go to one of the sites that are there listed for you, and just you watch those clocks. The clock regarding those who are dying, those who are being brought to the birth, and you see the world population clock as it continues to climb towards 8 billion people, and sit there and wonder, where will they be in eternity? Where will they be? But we have become casual about soul winning. We have become casual with regard to the matter of separation. It seems to me that with regard to what was deemed unacceptable in the church has now become acceptable. I think about those things connected with our attire, what we wear, our appearance, our accessories, our allegiances, our associations, our affiliations, to name but a few. We pride ourselves in ecclesiastical separation, but what about personal separation? Separation from the world? C.H. Spurgeon faced the problem of the church's worldly conformity in his day, and thus he wrote, I believe that one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church. Put your finger on any prosperous age in church history, and you will find a little marginal note that says, in this age, people could readily see where the church began and where the world ended. Unfortunately, the world is in the church. And some of us have brought it in. Some of us have brought it in. Brother, sister, I'm not getting at you today. I'm simply exhorting us all to heed the counsel we have in God's word. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Or Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Who is on the Lord's side? I confine my remarks quickly to one final thought. There's a casualness has entered the hearts of many with regard to the matter of service. Saved to serve was once the motto of every Christian. I'm saved to serve. But self-improvement and self-ease seems to be now the order of the day. Church ministries across the board certainly do not have the problem of oversubscription when it comes to its workers. The fields of this world, Germany, France, Italy, Belgium, Sweden, Denmark, China, Indonesia, Vietnam, the Kingdom of Bahrain, Bermuda, Jamaica, Chile, the nations of the world with no gospel witness in some of these particular places. And if there be a witness, they are but few. The fields of the world remain white, already to harvest. But the problem of Christ's day remains the problem of our day. The laborers are few because we are self-serving. We are self-serving. R.A. Torrey said how enormous and wonderful and glorious would be the result if all Christians should begin to be active personal workers to the extent of their ability. Brother, sister, find some way to serve God. Commit yourself to some ministry within the local church. Give yourself wholeheartedly to it. Become an active participant in the work of God. Don't be a casual bystander. I say there are two questions. I come to the second, and it is very brief. The second question, what is the cause and remedy of this casualness? Why have we become so casual in all of these areas and many other areas that I could have mentioned today? Well, some blame the lack of preaching and teaching. Others might suggest that, well, these things, preacher, they're really not necessary components anymore of Christian living, while others purport that we need to be more inclusive, not so rigid, if we want the church to grow numerically. And I would suggest to you that this cause of casualness is something more profound than these things. The reason why we have become so casual is because we do not know our God. We do not know our God. If anything leads to casualness in Christian living, in worship and doctrine and conduct, it is a diminished view of our God. I read this quote: is it possible that the concept of a gracious God may have slipped into that of a casual God? And then the writer went on to say, nowhere in the Bible is God casual. Nowhere in the Bible is God casual. Now, if the cause of our casualness is our understanding of God, then the remedy is simple. All of us, and I include myself, all of us need to become personally and experimentally reacquainted with the God of the Bible. We need a recovery of the greatness and the majesty and the holiness of our God. That our God is great. That he dwells in majesty and power. that our God is holy, thrice holy, and because he is, he requires that we as children are holy. And I believe that if you and I could but get a view of our God, then this casualness that has crept into our lives would be consumed and swallowed up by the views, the high views of our God. Have you become a casual Christian? If so, may God help you and I to be honest with ourselves. May we find again cleansing in the blood of Christ for this casualness. How easy it is to examine other Christians. I speak as the preacher. How easy it is to inform others of their failures in the prayer meeting. But how difficult it is to do as David did. And he said there in Psalm 139, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." I conclude with this thought and with this question. Christ was not casual in anything that he did. Why then should we be casual? Why should we be casual if our Savior was not casual? And may God help us to shake off this blight of just simply being casual about the things of God. And may our homes be revolutionized, changed, because we've actually given ourselves to God and to his work, and just to live as the Bible would have us to live. May God show us mercy. May God speak to our hearts through his precious word.